We're going to turn now to the very important matter of play, because that's the topic in our parenting advice slot with Dr. Toby Saxon-Meyer. Dr. Toby, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin, and I'm really glad that you said it that way.
Why so?
Well, I think oftentimes we think of play as something that happens on the side. You know, it's something that keeps kids busy when they're not doing things that are more kind of, quote, important. You know, so we think of the important things as going to school or, you know, the day-to-day tasks, getting ready for bed, getting ready for school, having meals, all that kind of thing. But actually, play is the work of childhood. It's the most important thing they do in so many ways.
And there's a lot to discuss in that area, but why is it so important? Because obviously what happens in the classroom is incredibly important, and as you've alluded to, in many people's eyes would be seen as being more important. That's where your child gets their education.
It is, and but what we know is that how a child performs in the classroom is actually greatly improved by their access to play and their experience of play. Their play gives them those pre-classroom skills that make the classroom work go so much better. So much so that, in fact, I think some people may, we might have talked about this before, in some schools in Scandinavia, they don't even start academic work until kids are seven, because they feel like the work of play is what really gets them ready for that. That's where they develop their social skills. That's where they develop their motor abilities. That's where they develop so many skills that make it so much easier for them to master the academics when they're that little bit older.
And the international league tables will say that that's a model that's working very well. Finland, for example, as you educated me in my homework for this slot, top of the table, according to something that I read. But then I was contrasting that with my own son, who is six, and he is in junior infants, and he is in a Gaelscoil, so he's learning through Irish, and he is astounding me every evening with the vocabulary that he is coming out with, and to me is flourishing in his education. Touch wood that continues, but I don't see what's necessarily wrong with our system in that context, if you know what I mean.
Oh no, I wouldn't promote that we suddenly switch to the Finnish system, because there's much more to it than that. They don't do academics until seven. There's many, many other aspects of that education system that lead to those league tables. So you can't just pick it up and move it here. But what will help your child and other children in the Gaelscoil is having plenty of opportunities before and after school and before they ever start attending school for play. Kids play for the same reasons we play. There's nobody I know who loves gardening who does it because it'll add value to their home or because they need the food to put on the table. You do it because it's fun, it's relaxing, it makes you feel good, and it's healthy. So there are so many benefits of play. I don't want to say that it's more important than any of the other things.
Okay.
Clearly it's not. But it's a prerequisite, and it enhances those other things. And it also has value in its own that is aside from anything it prepares kids to do.
Why do children play?
They play because it's fun. They play because it makes them feel good. It gives them a sense of competence. They play for the same reasons we do, you know. So,
okay.
It just
is what they do, effectively.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what are the benefits? Then you've alluded to some of them already, but developmentally, what does it mean for a child?
Oh well, I'd like to go into some of these in some detail, but it promotes good physical health, good mental health. Movement in particular is really good for kids. It promotes social skills. I think that it's really important to see that there are a wide range of benefits. So in terms of physical and mental health, kids playing, especially outdoor play, it's very clear that it develops muscles and strength. It helps with, kids who are outside playing all the time are less likely to have problems with childhood obesity. It keeps their joints flexible, and it has a really good impact on mood. You know, kids who are outside a lot are in a better mood, and they're less argumentative. They just do better in every way. And movement in particular, is interesting, because a lot of times when kids are having a hard time concentrating in school or sitting still, or they can't manage the expectations that are placed on them in school, one of the most important things that can be done, and a lot of it seems counterintuitive, is to give kids movement breaks, to let them go outside and run around and swing on things and do all of that, because all of that kind of movement, especially the kind of movement that they can feel in their bones and their muscle, that helps them to concentrate. It helps them to be able to organize themselves. It helps them to be able to manage emotions. It helps them sit still. It helps with confidence. All of those things come from that really physical play. And one of the kinds of play of movement in particular I just want to mention is that when kids are unregulated, when they're upset about something, one kind of movement that's really good is rhythmic moving. So things like being on a trampoline or a swing or marching. There's something about rhythm when you're moving that helps to calm and soothe somebody. So that's something to bear in mind.
So is physical play outside, and that's obviously better than inside play, I presume?
I wouldn't say it's better, but I think that you don't want to miss out on it. You know, there are benefits to being out in the fresh air and the sunshine that I don't think we fully understand. But there's definitely something about outdoor play that benefits children and adults in really powerful ways.
Away from the physical side, there's the social side as well.
Yeah, and there are really crucial social skills that are learned through play. And that's one of the reasons that lots of play is a prerequisite to being able to get along in school, because it's when you're playing with other kids that you learn things like how to approach another child, how to share, how to take turns, how to respect other people. And we often try to sort of in a structured way, try to teach those things to kids. But actually, if they have enough time, long periods of time where they're just playing with other kids and we don't get in their way too much, it gives them a chance to try to work things out for themselves. And they might fail, but if they have enough time and they have another opportunity for it, a lot of times they'll just try again and eventually they'll get it right. And by them sort of developing that skill through trial and error, it will have a really strong impact, and in some ways that will be longer lasting than us sitting them down and saying, well, this is how you take turns, this is how you approach another child.
They learn how to fill their own time, they learn how to, learn their social interaction skills, obviously.
They do. And they also, by having, there's different kinds of play, you know, so by playing freely, by just having a morning to themselves, they can kind of learn what is sometimes called the joy of learning. You know, they self-discover things. They find things that they didn't know existed, and they might be walking in the local park or the woods and realize that there's five different kinds of leaves within a few meters, you know, and they might collect those leaves, or they might go to the seashore and mess around in rock pools or collect shells. So that kind of self-discovery is really powerful, and it's one of the things that motivates kids to learn more and more in the future.
So to what extent then should a parent try and guide their child in terms of how they play and what they do?
Well, I think that for parents it's a balancing act, because in many ways and in many situations the best thing we can do is just get out of the way. And to just, when we see our kids playing, first of all, allow them to just go off and do what they want to do and resist our inclination to step in too much, because we all have this bossy gene, you know, where we think we know better and we think that we know what's good for them. But a lot of times if they have enough time to just do things on their own without us coming in and telling them, this is what you should do now it's time to do that, that is really powerful. And we can do that from a surprisingly early age. I think that some experts in infant health are talking about how powerful it can be if you have a little baby, and just to set that baby down on a blanket and watch the baby and tune into the baby as she looks at a sunbeam going across the wall or looks at the little bits of dust that are floating around in the sunbeam. And if we're just there with them and we watch them and observe them do that, and we kind of tune into them, then that that's the very beginning. That's the very earliest form of self-directed play. They're kind of exploring without even having the ability to move around yet. They're exploring their environment and seeing what's interesting, and the way that thing moves is interesting to them, you know, so that can be really great.
But what about, and this is probably more for an older child, what about a situation where a parent maybe would like their child to play differently? You might have a child who's inclined to sit inside and do jigsaws or play video games. You want them out about in the fresh air. You might have a child who is more content playing alone when there's opportunities for them to play with other children, for example. In those instances, it's surely appropriate for a parent to nudge their child along in a different direction.
Yeah, I think that that it can help to have a rough understanding that there are different kinds of play and all of them have benefits, okay? So free play versus adult-directed play, both of those things are important. Group play versus solitary play, both of those things have benefits. Constructive play, which I mean by that, like making things, building things, whether it's making things out of sticks or Lego or building a fort, that's really great. But so is imaginative play, where you're just kind of letting your imagination go and you be the fairy and I'll be the wizard, you know, that kind of thing. All of those things have benefits. And ideally, kids would have access to and an interest in all of those things. But the amount of the different types of play that they need varies a lot based on personality. You know, so some kids are naturally more introspective and introverted than other kids. And for those kids, it's healthy for them to be doing things by their own. And by trying to force them into these group situations, that can be really stressful for them. So I wouldn't want you to try to put too much pressure on them to do things differently than they are. But I would try to ensure that they have interesting opportunities for many kinds of play. And most kids, now there are some kids who will struggle more with this, but most kids, if you give them opportunities and you don't pressure them too much, will naturally migrate to doing different types of play in different amounts depending on their personality and their environment. Like I grew up in a city and my play was very different than my friends who grew in the country, you know, and yet it was all valuable. It was all good for us. So offering opportunities. But I think one of the most important things about play for parents, and I would emphasize this because I don't think we think about it very much, is that we really need, when a child is playing, we need to respect that activity as much as we would respect any other important activity they're doing. So if our child is building something with Legos and it's time for us to go to the supermarket and it's time to go, it's really important that we allow them to finish or find a good stopping point, because that first of all, what they're doing is important. It is important. It is the work of childhood and they're learning important skills. Being allowed to finish what they're doing is less likely to lead to frustration. And the most important thing is that letting them finish what they're doing, respecting what they're doing, gives them a powerful sense of self-determination. And you're not sending the message that what they're doing is less important than what you want to be doing. Okay. And that's really important.
You've touched on this a lot in the last couple of minutes since this message came in, but a listener wanted me to ask you, as a parent of one, should they encourage their child to play independently, or is it better to play with her or with him? Maybe just to slightly modify the question because of what you've said since that message was said, how much playing should a parent do with their child?
I think that that what's more important than the amount of play is that parents are tuned into their child. And sometimes it can be really powerful to watch your child, or if your child's building something, just be there with them and notice and comment on it. That can be really powerful. But also, when you do join in with them, there's really important things that happen there. One is that's a really good way of connecting with kids for being with them around something that's interesting to them. It helps communication. It helps build relationships. All of that is really good. But again, the amount and the type will depend on the child's personality, their skills, their ability, the environment, all of those things. Okay. So there's no fixed answer. It depends on the child. But really encourage them to play. Oh, one other thing about that is often if kids are accustomed to us playing with them all the time and they're not accustomed to playing on their own, they may if they may demand that we play with them, and they may seek that out. It's really important in that situation to do that, to tune in with them, but also to at times say, okay, why don't you play this for a while I do this? Okay. You really need to encourage them to play by themselves as well.
What about only children, a listener asks? Now, that's all that's in the message, but I presume this might be in a scenario where maybe they're living rurally and there aren't a lot of other children around.
Yeah, and only children have, we might talk about that someday, because only children have advantages, but they also have challenges, especially if they are, you know, in an area where they can't just run out to the green and there's four other kids there.
Yeah.
You know, but only children can play in a lot of ways. There's lots of things they can do by themselves that are really fun and rewarding. So find the things that are really, only children can sometimes be really good at entertaining themselves and finding hobbies and finding, you know, ways to explore the woods. And they can do a lot of things, and it's really important to support that. It's also important to seek out opportunities for them to be around other kids. Now, if they're school age, they're probably getting a lot of that at school, and so you can arrange times for them to visit their friends. Mm-hmm. But as much as possible, follow their lead on that.
Okay. What if the play becomes rough, another listener is asking, particularly if it's not two siblings, particularly if it's your child and somebody else's child?
If it is safe to do so, let them at it. You know, let them figure it out themselves, because that is a really crucial skill for them to develop. But when play becomes rough, typically it's either because of a disagreement, and if you kind of let them go for a while, then they'll learn how to resolve disagreements with other people, which is a really important skill. Or the other reason is it's because they become overstimulated. You know, they're playing and they become rougher and rougher and rougher. And again, if it's safe to do so, they will learn how to bring themselves down from that. If it's not safe, then you need to have as light a touch as possible and maybe suggest that they take a break. Ask them, you know, name what you see. I see you two don't agree about the rules to this game. What should we do about that? And try to encourage problem solving on their part.
Okay. Give us your final message then.
My final message is, remember that play is the work of childhood, and that you need to find the balance between being attuned to them, noticing, valuing what they're doing, but also not jumping in too fast to help or direct. Okay. Value play.
Value play. Give it the time, give it the space, and give it the importance.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Toby, appreciate your time as always. I've enjoyed the chats down through the years. You've made me a better dad.
It has been great, Gavin. I will miss these times talking with you.
All the very best. Look after yourself.
Right.
Do take care.
Slán leat.
Bye-bye. Dr. Toby Saxon-Meyer there, our clinical child psychologist. Big thanks to her for joining us. If you missed it, it'll be available later as a podcast.